Okay, hello everyone. My name is Chris Finn, and I'm going to be the facilitator for discussing this topic called fostering inclusion in the workplace. A little bit about myself. I'm an educator by trade. I've served as an educator for the past 27 years. I've been a school teacher, a dean of students, a school principal, and an education consultant, and I've had a great deal of experience in working to foster inclusion in the workplace. Now, one of the things we want to talk about first is why we actually want an inclusive environment. And frankly, we want an inclusive environment because the more diverse people that are at the table, the more diverse ideas and people from different background, socioeconomically, culturally, ethnically, religion, gender, those different backgrounds will lend itself to a more creative and thoughtful work environment. And frankly, we oftentimes will receive more progressive, creative, and thoughtful ideas when we have more people at the table. And we want to be inclusive of all of those people so that their voices matter and so that they're respected and valued in the workplace. And oftentimes we want to think about who is included with that. And frankly, the easy answer is everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean people of different age, people of different religions, veterans, different races, different genders, sexual orientation, even people with, you know, dietary habits or people with different disabilities. We want to ensure that everyone is included in the workplace, valued, and respected. It's also important to note some of the components of an inclusive environment, right? We want to make sure that individuals in this environment are treated with dignity and respect. Those are pretty much the two pillars of having an inclusive environment, is making sure that you're treating everyone in a dignified manner and that you're starting from this level of respect. And we want to value people for their differences. You know, oftentimes when you meet people who are different than you, you tend to hyper-focus on the things that make you different. We want to value those differences, right? If I'm from an urban area, you're from a rural area. I'm from a city, you're from the country. You know, those different things are what will help us bring different ideas and thoughts to the table. And we want to make a conscious effort to listen to everyone. I often talk about active listening, and that's when you're listening to hear and not just respond. That means, you know, oftentimes someone will say something that we disagree with and we'll immediately start cooking up the response that we want to give them in our heads. If you're doing that, then frankly, you have stopped listening to that person and you're only ready to respond. So we want to make a conscious effort to listen to everyone in the workplace, value their ideas, value their opinions. And we want to remember that every person in the organization is vital to the success and the progress of said organization. And when you think about that, you know, sometimes the thinking gets very individual. It gets very connected to how you feel. And you want to kind of reflect and think about what makes you feel included in the workplace. You know, is it being invited to participate in specific meetings? Is it when coworkers invite you to outside of work activities? Is it when people connect to you and respect your interests or your religion or your beliefs? Is it when you are acknowledged or your supervisors or managers maybe show some empathy for a health concern that you might have or a child concern that you might have? And oftentimes, one of the things that make us feel really included is a high level of communication. Once upon a time when I was a school principal, I remember my teachers feeling really valued and supported because I was very empathetic to childcare issues. You know, if there was a child that's sick, you have a child that's, you know, has to go to the doctor or you get that emergency call, something has happened. I was very famous for just saying, okay, just go, clock out and go take care of your child and we'll find coverage for you. Over time, my employees, the teachers, the staff members that I worked with, they shared with me that that made them feel heard. It made them feel included. And those were some of the things that were important to me to exhibit in the workplace as far as inclusion is concerned. Now, another pillar of inclusion in the workplace is strong, positive communication that can be met by hitting a few different things. So one thing is you definitely want to show an active interest in the person's culture or in their viewpoint or in their lifestyle, right? So if there's a person who's a baker and they bake cookies every holiday, you want to show some interest in that person's, you know, outside of work's, you know, activities. You have a friend at work who plays the violin. You know, you have a colleague at work who's in a dance troupe. Showing some interest and some care about what they do outside of work is a great way to build this positive communication. And that requires you to be inquisitive. Maybe you want to ask them questions about where they traveled over the break or what, you know, they're studying or what their holiday was like. Those are different things to help build those relationships. And in the same fashion, you want to be willing to share as well. You know, I've met many supervisors, leaders, unfortunately, that have a very stoic, almost military-esque type of tone where they don't often share a lot about themselves. And as a result, they're not able to build these stronger relationships in the workplace. So be open to share as well. Remember that that is not comfortable for everyone. You know, not everyone is as happy divulging or being vulnerable or sharing some ideas. So be mindful that we don't have to agree on everything. Not everyone has to share with you their background, their history, what they're doing outside of work. But you want to be open to it. You want to listen if they are willing to share. And you want to be willing to share as well so that you can continue to build those strong relationships and have positive communication in the workplace. Now, it's easy to say, let's have an inclusive environment, right? And it doesn't happen by people just holding hands and kind of singing kumbaya and making it happen. There are some actual strategies that you can use to create an inclusive environment. And I'm going to share a few. One of them, as I've already mentioned, is to get involved with extracurricular activities. You know, go see your friend sing karaoke. Go see your colleague perform in a play. Those things really build more inclusivity and stronger relationships. Also, remember how important simple manners can be. You know, a good morning, a good afternoon, a hello, those things go a long way. You can also share a little bit about yourself by decorating your work area or have something by your desk. You know, when I was a school principal, I definitely had a picture of my family in the office. It lent itself to sharing a little bit of who I was as a human being outside of work. You also want to make sure you're never speaking over people, you're never cutting in, you're never butting into a conversation, but you want to be thoughtful about the way you engage with others in communicating. And you want to consider others' viewpoints. You know, many times we come into the workplace, we walk through our lives with the things that we've been raised to learn, the things that we've been raised to understand and value. But you want to listen to other people's viewpoints as they can share some really thoughtful things that might help you sharpen your lens or might even make you change your mind about a specific situation based on a viewpoint that another person shares. So be open to those different viewpoints as they can help push and evolve your thinking. You also want to remember that you want to choose topics and specifically venues for events for work where everyone will feel included. You know, so if you have a person who's a wheelchair user, you don't want to go to, you know, a trampoline park because that person may not be able to be included. I'll tell you another one, very interesting. I had a school clerk once upon a time who had a really horrible shellfish allergy. And as a result, what would happen is if there was even some kind of shrimp or shellfish in the air, she would become really quickly allergic. So when it was time for a holiday party, we were not choosing the seafood restaurant, right? Something to think about. You can also sign up to lead an activity at your office. You can make sure that when you're educating people, you're never talking down to them. You're never insulting them. You're only sharing so that they can learn. And remember, smiling and those saying good morning, those things go a long way. Now, those are some of the things you should do. Let me also hit some things that you should not do. We should never be using offensive language in the office. Just immediately cut yourself off from doing that. It's also tough to share controversial political beliefs. Maybe those are the things you want to save for your personal conversations, for when you're out with friends and family, but those are some things you might not want to bring to the workplace. You also don't want to always just play devil's advocate, right? And just as a result, just point out the opposite point that a person is making just for the sake of an argument. That's not a great way to build a relationship and to be inclusive in the workplace. And I would also say, be mindful of the baggage that you bring to the workplace, right? If you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're upset, be mindful that the other people in the workplace are being impacted by that. And you don't want to immediately change who you are, but you just want to be thoughtful about what you're bringing to the workplace as well. Remember, if you're given the opportunity to learn from your mistakes, really take those opportunities. We all make mistakes. And I'm really a fan of leaders, managers, and supervisors who can formally own some of the mistakes they made, because it teaches others that it's okay to be wrong and accept new information with grace. And then you can learn to be even better. There are also these two sides of the coin called tolerance and acceptance. And tolerance is when you're literally just tolerating a person's presence. I mean, even the tone of that is pretty tough. Like, I tolerate my coworkers, right? We want to lend ourselves to be more accepting of our coworkers. We want to foster understanding. We want to celebrate the differences. And we want to remember there's not just one way to get things done. There are different ways to approach and solve similar problems. Now, outside of the workplace is another great way to build inclusion in your life. You can explore, you can travel. One of the best ways to do it is to try different cuisines, try different food from different cultures. It's a great way to expose yourself to different cultures, and even the entertainment and music and dances of different cultures. Those can give you a wider view of what's going on in the world and lend itself to inclusion in your life. Look for ways to learn from others. Don't be afraid to branch out and try some things that you haven't done in the past. Now, we've seen case studies throughout history, and particularly with major organizations, that, you know, they suffer sometimes from not being inclusive. There's the story of Abercrombie and Fitch, where they paid $50 million to settle a lawsuit where there was accusation of race discrimination. We've heard of Walmart, where a jury awarded over $125 million in an EEOC disability discrimination case for failing to make accommodations for an employee's work schedule. And famously, IBM is the company that is known to have pioneered the concept of inclusion in the workplace. So frankly, these are not just things to do for fun or just to check off a checklist. These are things that can greatly impact your company financially. So I want to share all of those notes and share that those are just some strategies to build and foster inclusion in the workplace. And I want to say just a few words about your Anthem EAP program, your Employee Assistance Program. Remember that Anthem EAP is here for you and for all of the employees that work in your organization. You can reach out for support on a myriad of things. I've heard people get help with childcare, elder care, moving from one place to another, being stressed, mental health supports. These are different supports that can be provided to you and your immediate family members by Anthem EAP. So don't be afraid to reach out, because number one, they are confidential. No one in your office will be aware of what you're engaging in. And number two, they offer supports that you will have access to that can support you and your family. And on that note, I want to thank you for listening to this session. My name is Chris Finn, and this has been Fostering Inclusion in the Workplace. Thank you all so much.